Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're up to verse 22. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. In this section of Matthew, Jesus is using three metaphors. He uses a metaphor in verses 19 to 21 of treasure. He speaks of that which is given to us in heaven as treasure. And in verses 22 and 23, he speaks of our eyes. He speaks of our eye in particular, whether it's healthy or unhealthy. And then he speaks of masters in verse 24. And so we're up to the section where he speaks about our eye. And we have to understand why he speaks of an eye, singular. This is the word of God. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The precious word of the living and the true God. I found out recently that there is a certain year in history that some historians think was the worst year to be alive. And it wasn't 2020. It was the worst year according to some of the things that they've described. One of the things that made this year so bad was continual darkness. There were 547 consecutive days of darkness. 18 months before, you might have been a hardworking farmer gearing up for another crop season, but then the skies went dark. From early 536 to 537, they stayed dark. Across much of Eastern Europe and throughout Asia, spring turned into summer and fall gave way to winter without a day of sunshine. Like a blackout curtain over the sun, millions of people across the world's most populated countries squinted through dim conditions, breathing in chokingly thick air and losing nearly every crop they were relying on to harvest. Ancient eyewitnesses report that the sun stopped shining brightly for 14 to 18 months. The result was several years of failed harvests, famines causing migrations and turbulence across Eurasia. And that's not to mention the plague at the end. So it was actually the beginning of an entire decade that was one of the most difficult decades in human history. Now, we know that one of the darkest day in human history was when Jesus was on the cross. Or you might consider the time when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. But it's important for us to realize that these people actually were living for an extended period of time in great darkness. This was truly a hardship. It resulted in failed harvests. It was the result of a lot of air pollution from volcanic eruptions, and there are a number of reasons for it. It's given to us by AccuWeather. It's a historical report. But just think about that. To live for 18 months in darkness, what would that be like? Well, Jesus is talking about the situation that people live in every day. Jesus is talking about either being full of light or great darkness. And he says that there are people who have an eye that enables their whole body to be full of light, verse 22. And then in verse 23, he talks about an evil eye that will cause the whole body to be full of darkness. And if even the eye is unable to bring light to the body, then how great is that darkness, he says. Jesus is using a metaphor, and he's using it in a way that's a little different than our scientific understanding of how the eye works. He's talking to us about the eye as actually the light of the body. And we know that this is the case because our eyes do take in the light that is necessary for our body to have. If you shut your eyes, it's more difficult for you to walk around and find your way around to find your socks and put them on and to get out to the car or the bus while your eyes are closed, while you're in the dark. Our eyes are the means by which our body receives light. But Jesus is using the eye as a single image because he's talking about a lamp. He's talking about a lamp that actually gives light to the entire body. It's like one of these bulbs. If we had all of these other bulbs out, this one bulb would be giving light to the room. We have many lights here. But Jesus is talking about the eye giving light to the entire body. And it's important that we recognize what he's talking about when he speaks of this, because he's talking about the way that the eye functions, the way that the eye functions if it's healthy, the way that the eye functions if it's functioning properly. He says in verse 22, "If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." When he uses the word single, he's using a word that has to do with being without folds. It's actually from the image of folding over a cloth. You might fold it over one time, and it's folded once, neatly folded, as opposed to the one that has many folds, the complicated fold, you know, many times, and much more complicated. It's a word that we don't use that much, but it's a word that has to do with simplicity. It's a word that has to do with being sound. When your eye is clear, when it's sound, when it's simple, it is properly focused on one thing. We know what this is like when we watch two runners in a race, and we see them run up to the tape, and they have this photo finish, and then they replay what happened. And you know what happened as soon as you see it, because one of the runners is going right towards the tape, and he's looking ahead, and he wins. And the other runner just kind of tries to sneak a look off to the side for the other runner and loses the race. You see, that's what it's like. You have a single eye, an eye that is focused, that is able to receive light and give it to the whole body. And you have the other eye that is distracted, focused on something else. Jesus is talking about the difference between an eye that is sound and an eye that's in poor condition. An eye that's healthy and an eye that's unhealthy. He's talking about the difference between an eye that's clear and an eye that's bad. An eye that's sound and an eye that's defective. And he's talking about the difference between light and darkness. This is a lot, very similar to the way that John uses the terms light and darkness in his gospel. This is actually one of the only places in Matthew's gospel where this kind of use of light and darkness appears. But it's a lot like the way John uses it. Light has to do with that which is true, where you're supposed to focus your attention. If we were to look at verses 19 to 21, it's talking about laying up your treasures in heaven. By the time we get down to verse 24, we're talking about two masters. And one of them you can love. And the other one you will despise, God and mammon, God and money. If your eye is clear, if you're focused, you know that the one that you want to focus on is God. But right here in the middle, Jesus is telling us something about the way that our hearts and minds work. This idea of the eye being a lamp of the body, it's speaking of the way that our minds work, our hearts as those who are devoted to the Lord. And Jesus is using this image of the eye and the body to tell us about how the deepest core of our being functions. The Apostle Paul uses this language of eyes in Ephesians 1:18, where he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance are in the saints." God giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we might have eyes of understanding that are enlightened. Calvin says that when Jesus uses this language of the eye as a lamp of the body, he's speaking of the mind. But we know that there are differences, aren't there, between people who are focused on the things of God and people that are distracted, that have double vision, that are always looking around and trying to pay attention to something else at the same time. It's difficult for them to truly see properly because their eyes are not focused. If thine eye be evil, it's leading you to your whole body being full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, what's that talking about? Thine eye be evil. When Nisa was growing up, the Greek culture used to talk about the evil eye. Maybe some of you have seen a movie where people are giving the evil eye to someone. It's actually something that appears in the Bible. Proverbs 28:22 says, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. His eye is focused on riches. And the Bible says that's an evil eye. It's an eye that's distracted. It's an eye that's focused on something other than God. Jesus will make it very clear. You're serving another master, in verse 24. But here he's talking about the eye. There's another passage that talks about the eye being evil. Listen to this from Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. If there be any among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and that I be evil against thy poor brother. And thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. You see what's happening. Someone is in need, and the person who has the resources to help that person says, oh, the year of release is coming. He'll be helped then. And fails to help him. And the Word of God says that's showing an evil eye. That's holding on to the thing that you are supposed to give generously to the other person. And that's important because there is a difference in the way this language is used in Scripture. It plays out in different ways. Actually, in Proverbs 22 and verse 9, we see the good eye being shown to be the generous one. Proverbs 22 and verse 9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Here the language is of one who has an eye that causes him to hold on, and the other one has an eye that causes him to see clearly and gives bountifully. We know in the book of Proverbs that the one who fears the Lord is growing in wisdom. We know that there are Psalms and Proverbs that tell us to give bountifully. And yet it's only when we have our eye focused on God, when we are able to see clearly, when we are able to guide our body in these ways. What happens when your eye doesn't work properly? What happens when it becomes defective? It's very hard for you to do the normal things that you used to do. If you suddenly had problems with your eyes, both of your eyes, you would have trouble doing the things that you normally do. Tying your shoes, brushing your teeth, taking money out of your pocket, starting your car. You wouldn't be able to do that as well until you learned how to function, because you would be living in darkness. It would be like living in that time in history where there was darkness for 18 months. Many things would happen. They would start to multiply. And you see, that's what happens when our eyes become evil. Think about it this way. What happens when there's one cookie left on the plate and two people reach for it, maybe their brother and sister, and they both grab it and they look at one another? And that look in your eye, it says, I want that cookie, that's the evil eye. And the look in your eye that says, you can have a cookie, that's the good eye. That's the eye that is willing to share with someone else. And Jesus is talking about money in this passage. He's talking about treasure, but it's something more than that. He's talking about the direction of our lives. When our eyes are defective, our whole body cannot function properly. If I lose the sight of even one of my eyes, my left eye, I would have to adjust the way that I handle this side of my body. And you know what that's like if you've ever been through an eye procedure, like some of us have had recently. Darkness. It's a metaphor for the whole person being plunged into darkness. Those with a bad eye, those with an evil eye, those who are holding back because they want it for themselves, those people are plunged in darkness. They think they have light, but this light is in reality darkness. The darkness is all the more terrible because they fail to recognize it for what it is. Jesus says to the Pharisees in John 9:41, if he were blind, he should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. Part of the problem with being in darkness is that sometimes people don't recognize it. People don't really know that they're in darkness. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says at the end of verse 23, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? If everything that you think is light is darkness, you're in trouble. Because you're blind to the things that are truly important. You're blind to the things that are truly designed to guide you. You know, this happened to the Pharisees. And Jesus uses this very same language in another place. It's in Luke 11, as the Lord Jesus begins to respond to the people who are seeking a sign. And it says in Luke 11 and verse 29, when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And then Jesus says this, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. That sounds like Matthew 5:11. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. What's Jesus talking about? He's using this very same language. But now he's talking about those who say, we need to see a sign in order to know that you are from God. You see, their idea of what would show them light was coming from darkness. It was coming from the unbelief of their own hearts. It was coming from their unwillingness to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't see, even though there's open revelation, even though the sign of Jonas will be given to them, even though the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonas, and they're going to see Jesus Christ raised from the dead, but they can't see because they have darkened hearts. 2 Corinthians 4 speaks of such a state. It speaks of the way in which men and women and boys and girls can't see and live in darkness, continual darkness, and don't have a way to be guided by their eye. Jesus, Paul writes, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light, the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see what's happening? There are people who are blind, and they're blind in their hearts. It's a spiritual blindness. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's not just talking about your eyes. He's not just saying, you know, you have one eye, and that one eye gives light to your whole body. He's talking about spiritual things. He's talking to you about treasures in heaven versus treasures on earth. He's talking to you about two masters. But he's talking to you about how your heart can be blinded. Blind to the things that are right in front of you. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of his glory that's given by God shining his light into our hearts. You see, we need God to shine his light into our hearts. And all of us who have experienced the transformation of God shining his light into our hearts know what it's like to be called, like we are in Ephesians 4, to walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. When your heart becomes blind, you actually have a darkened heart. You become alienated from the life of God, and you begin to walk in a way that exhibits simply the lusts of the flesh. With no concept that maybe there's a light somewhere that I can see. I mean, just think, if you were a baby and you grew up during that 18-month period where the light wasn't shining, you would grow up and light would seem foreign to you. And that is what it's like for unbelievers. The light seems foreign to them, but not to you. Not to you, because Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You see, you have been given the light of the knowledge of the glory of God through Jesus Christ. You have been transformed. Your eye can admit light. And you are able to have that single focus because you are children of light. You are those who have been given the privilege of having something that the Pharisees didn't have, that the enemies of God didn't have, that the Gentiles don't have, that those who oppose God and are alienated from him and are ignorant of him do not have, no matter how intelligent they are, the ability to see through faith by the light given to you by revelation, face of Jesus Christ. And there's a great day ahead. Jesus has already told you about it. And as you admit light into your heart, as you begin to learn to focus your attention upon God through the light that's given to you, as your eye begins to focus, and as you begin to have a simple, undistracted focus on that light, it seeps into your heart. It begins to purify the darkness of your heart. It begins to flood your whole body with light. You begin to be full of light. And you become one of those who are called In Jesus' words, pure in heart. One who shall see God. That's worth desiring. It's worth focusing upon. It's worth moving towards. How do we get there? Well, Jesus has already been saying in the context that there are treasures in heaven. He's going to say in verse 24 that there are two masters, God and money. And so that's a good place to start, because we know that the book of Deuteronomy has talked about an evil eye being one who begrudges their neighbor the things that they might need. If you truly know that God is providing for you, if you truly know that he's given you light, if you truly know that you have treasures in heaven, if you're focusing upon God's glory, if you're focusing upon exhibiting his character, if you're focusing upon being pure in heart, holding on to things is a distraction in some ways. We're to be good stewards of the things that we have, but we're not to hold on to them as those who have evil eyes, as those who hold on to them and begrudge other people them. Let the other person have the cookie. There'll be many other cookies. And some of you know that. If you would have given up that cookie, there would be another one. But it's certainly true in the kingdom of heaven. Even if your family said, you know what, that's your last cookie forever. You're not having any more. The kingdom of heaven doesn't work that way. There are treasures in store for those who will just keep their eye on the finish line, not looking around. The distractions. Because what we need to remember is that focusing upon the light enables our body to work. It enables our hands and feet to do what they're designed to do as we, as whole people, are guided by the light. Are you full of light?